All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. August the 2nd, 2023. Beautiful, beautiful day here on the East Coast. A little chilly this morning. The change might be starting. That's all right. Had to get up this morning. We had to move some canoes around, get the big race in Tillman Island. Pretty excited about that. Big 9-miler. I'm all, you know, I've done it before. I'm not concerned about it, but it's starting. I'm thinking about it. It's like being asked to speak, right? I'm thinking about it. I want to be a great paddler, right? I want to be awesome, but I have to remind myself to stay in the seat, right? Stay in the moment. And but we are going to go over to Tillman Island and spend the night, go for a little paddle race, and come on back. And I'm looking forward to it, getting excited, trying to stay out of my head about it. You know, the worst comes to worst, it's 2 hours of paddling, right? Hour, 45 minutes, 2 hours of just straight paddling, and then it's over. And that will be the peak of pain, right? It won't get any worse than that. So, and the nice thing is that the weather's beautiful, the water's warm, it's all good, there's no problem. But, you know, I do like to, make it a little more dramatic than it needs to be, and I'm trying not to do that. But yeah, so that's sort of what's going on this morning. It does feel a little cooler out. We are the weather's changing a little bit. It has to, right? It's been so freaking hot. It feels it's a nice change. It feels like it's going to be an amazing day. I am off today. I'm going to work though. Working through some other stuff, right? I shared on this podcast. You know, some things have changed at the salon. You know, listen, I can panic, right? I can freak out, right? I can turn it around, become a victim of it, but I'm not. I am not a victim today, like my buddy Matt used to say. I am not a victim. I am, you know, I'm a human, still human, but I'm not going to be a victim of it. I'm just going to figure out how to get through it, work harder. And one of the ways is I can actually work a little more. And so today is Wednesday. Typically, I would paddle this morning, but I've had a lot of clients reaching out wanting to get in the salon. So what I'm doing is I'm just, if I got somebody that can't, that's new, that I haven't done before, I'm trying to do them on a Monday or Wednesday, the days off. And, you know, it's one thing when life gets tough and you're drinking too much and there doesn't feel like there's any hope, and it's the same old shit, different day. But it's another thing when, you know, life gets tough, and you're sober, and you realize that, you know, the fact that I don't drink, I can take on any challenge, and hopefully find success, right? A big portion of my life, shit would happen, and I would just basically stick my head in the sand and think, I'll just ignore it, and maybe it'll go away. But the reality is that that doesn't work. And, you know, when times are tough, like they are right now, I'm so grateful that I am sober, because I can. Just what do I have to do? I can just work, you know, show up, work hard, stay in the moment, you know, don't do drugs, right? Don't get high. Don't drink, and I should be able to grind through this, right? This isn't a terminal disease that's going on. This is just an inconvenience. And What can I do better? What have I done that hasn't been great? What sort of got me to this point, right? One of the things that when it comes with any situation, I have to take a hard look at myself and find out the role that I played. And, you know, one of the things about sometimes a person will come and work and they're just not that responsible. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to worry about it because they're paying their rent, right? What do I care, right? That's the nice thing about chair rental, right, is they are running their own business. But someone said to me, but isn't your name still on the building? And it is, right? And but sometimes, you know, when things are feeling comfortable, I'll look past certain things, like the fact that these people aren't coming to work on time. And it really was just one person. And listen, and this person's great, right? I've had times in my life where things just are tough, right? I just can't fucking get my head above water. And I think that's just what's going on with this person. But she person's a great person. I have no ill will. But for me, you know, instead of going, you know, this is because so-and-so is not working, this is because so-and-so left. No, this is because I just need to work more. I need to dig in and get myself through this. And I can do that. And but I wanted to read, I'm real, you know, I don't have a lot of stuff going on in my life right now. I'm paddling this weekend. That's about it. Somebody asked me the other day, how's your summer? And I'm like, it's pretty lackluster. I mean, paddling and working and hanging out, right? And I'm quite happy with all that. But when I say it out loud, it doesn't sound like we're doing much. And we're really not doing much. There's not a lot going on. Going to a lot of meetings. I think I might have meet a couple guys today for lunch and, you know, have ourselves a little meeting. But besides that, you know, there's not a lot going on. So I thought I would just maybe read this as Bill sees it. And it's page 44. And you know how I read. So it's a little, it's not long, but I'm sure I'll fuck it up. But here we go. So it's called, this page 44, Daily Acceptance. Too much of my life has been spent in dwelling upon the faults of others. This is a most subtle and perverse form of self-satisfaction, which permits us to remain comfortably unaware of our own defects. Too often we are heard to say, if it weren't for him or her, how happy I'd be, right? Our very first problem is to accept our present circumstances as they are, ourselves as we are, and the people about us as they are. This is to adopt a realistic humility without which no genuine advance can even begin, excuse me. Again and again, we shall need to return to that unflattering point of departure. This is an exercise in acceptance that we can profitably practice every day of our lives, provided we strenuously avoid turning these realistic surveys of the facts of life into unrealistic alibis for apathy and defeatism. They can be the sure foundation upon which increased emotional health and therefore spiritual progress can be built. Whew, that's a lot. Yeah. You know, I've said it. I mean, to me, that was a turning point in my sober and me finding sobriety was the becoming accountable. And there's the obvious things that I'm accountable for. And then there's the things that I have to really go dig in and go find to make me become accountable. And this is sort of one of them. I can absolutely sit back and say that, you know, people leaving that work for me, you know, are the problem. And they're the reason that I'm in the situation that I'm in. One, the situation that I'm in is excellent. I have a fantastic situation. It's just slightly inconvenient. You know, I have a great business. I have a great reputation. We have great reviews. We do great work. There's just only one of me. That's the problem. But, you know, me sitting back and saying, you know, if it wasn't for that person, everything would be great. You know, I play a role in everything. I was talking to somebody about once I hired somebody that was so... We just did not connect, right? There was just such a difference between the two of us. And sometimes you're like, eh, it'll be fine. But I knew pretty much right away, I'm like, you can't work here. This is going to be miserable, right? I had to say it, you know. And this person was very mad at me, and they yelled at me and called me some names and finally left and slammed some doors. But I knew this was going to be a problem, right? But that's me being responsible. And that's not necessarily that person's fault. Maybe it's my fault, right? Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the one that's hard to get along with. In certain situations, I am, right? You meet certain people in your life, and it's like two peas in a pod, right? And then you meet some people in your life, and it just doesn't click. But I have to be accountable for that. That's like me. So if I'd have said, if I'd have just ignored it and just gone on in that business relationship and been miserable, I would have had someone to blame it on. I would have said, it's because of that person. And the reality is, it's my fault because I should have realized early on that it wasn't going to work. And so that's exactly what happened. And then that's exactly what I did. And I don't have that situation happening today, right? Person may not like me anymore. We were friends. I think if it all came down to it, we'd be like, hey, how are you? You know, I don't think there's hate, right? But it's just inconvenience crashing into inconvenience. But it's all about accountability, right? Wherever my feet have been, I played a role in it, right? And so the person that just recently left the salon probably shouldn't really have, you know, this person's been with me for some years now, probably should have ended the relationship a while back. Not because it was bad, just because sometimes people are trying to get on their feet, and when you're trying to get on your feet and shuffle trying to work, sometimes both get messy, right? And so I probably should have said, hey, listen, why don't you take some time, right, and get yourself together, get your situation, you know, get back in order. Because, listen, I've seen this person in the brightest of light and in the darkest of darks, right? And I know, you know, when a person is capable of having a great day, right? And I also know that that same person is capable of having a rough day. And so I've seen both sides. So it's not like I said, hey, you can't work here again because you just don't have your shit together, right? I should have said, hey, why don't you take some time and try to get back to the place that you used to be, right? Because I think we've all been there, right? I said this the other day. A guy came up to me and said, I can't believe you ever drink. Looked at me and said that. And yeah, I guess if you looked at me today in the world that I'm in, you probably would have never realized how bad I was. But I was bad, right? I was a bad drinker. I had bad behavior. I had a bad attitude. And I was full of self. I was possessed by a freaking devil, the devil. But working this program has allowed me to remove that from my life, or at least put a little light on it, right? Shine the light in that darkened corner where that devil sits and be like, I see you, bro. I know you. Know how to take care of you. I keep an eye on you, right? But, you know, like it says, oh, where was it? Like it says in that reading, it says, which permits us to remain comfortably unaware of our own defects. What says to me is that if I'm sitting here being a victim of this, right, and I'm blaming it on everybody, that allows me to not take a harder look at myself, right? If my feet were there, I played a role. And listen, I've done that. I did that for many years, right? It's not that I did it on purpose. It was how I had become. It was this path that I had taken, and I was slightly oblivious of it, right? I did not know that I was a self-centered person. I didn't realize that I was self-centered and I didn't have any God in my life, right? I didn't understand any of that. And the program has taught me that. And now I'm completely aware of it. Some days I'm better at it than others, right? But it allows us, as long as, and like my buddy Matt used to say, man, I'm not a victim today, because victims don't get better, right? Victims fall under that, right? Where it says, which permits us to remain comfortably unaware of our own defects. If I am doing the blame game, it's everybody else's fault. If I'm doing that, how am I going to be able to take a look at myself, right? Excuses. Excuses, excuses. If you have a ton of excuses, how are you going to be able to take a look at least, listen, yeah, maybe publicly I don't want to address the fact or say out loud that maybe it's partially my fault, but maybe secretly I want to be aware of it, and maybe that I can privately start trying to be better, right? I do think that I know that when, you know, in my early recovery, I would try to work on things. Maybe I didn't personally talk about it out loud. My own little achievements, my own little goals, you know, the shopping cart thing, right? Just trying to be a better person. I am still, you know, I'm so fascinated by Robert Kennedy Jr. And it's a double-edged sword because one, he's running for president. So it makes it this, I don't want this to be about politics. This is about a guy, right? Who I'm just so fascinated with. One, he's just sharing his story so publicly. And I'm like, wow. And he's basically saying, this is my story, whatever, deal with it. You know, I've got a lot going on, and he shares his story, and I'm just blown away. And him talking about the spiritual awakening just is so fascinating, because my whole version of the spiritual awakening for me was about the removal of fear, right? And his is like, hey, man, I'm just going to start believing there's a God, and I'm going to start acting like he's watching me, and I'm going to live my life like that. He had a spiritual realignment or a spiritual awakening, and I get that, right? It's like the third step, turned our will, our thinking, and our action, or in our lives, actions over to the care of a God of our understanding, which basically means better thinking, better actions, which is a life sort of living under the eye of a higher power. And so now I've almost got two sort of definitions of the spiritual awakening. I have my version, which to me is about the removal of fear and self. And then the other version, which is basically saying to man, I'm just going to live a better life. I'm just going to act. I'm going to think better, and my actions will be better. And he talks about this throwing the gum wrapper and, you know, hitting the floor, and him, like, you know, running down and going, damn it, and having to turn around and go pick up that stupid little piece of paper. I think anybody that has any sort of recovery time knows exactly that feeling. Like, you just can't get away with the bullshit anymore. And it's just, it's a torture. We're tortured by it, right? But at the same time, so grateful, because I was the guy that just didn't give a shit about anything. Throwing trash. I mean, I drive, and, you know, like, I come to work and I take back roads, and you'll just see, like, somebody throws a huge Chick-fil-A bag of all their fucking trash out on the ground. You're like, wow, that son of a bitch. I used to do that. When we were kids, man, we threw the whole shit right out the window. We didn't care. We'd laugh, right? Laughing as the cups and trash tumble down the road. Think it's really, really funny, right? Today, I could never, ever do that. I mean, I'll be chewing gum and I'll throw it on the ground, and I'll go pick it up and, like, throw it in the grass, right? I could be better, but I can't, you know, when he talks about throwing that wrapper and it bouncing out of the trash can, he says, you know, that one's on you, God, because it did go in. And what he was saying is it made it in the trash can. I did my part. It didn't stay in, but I did what I was supposed to do. And as he goes on running down the terminal, he turns around he says, it's eating me up that wrapper's on the floor. And so he did exactly what he was supposed to do. And even though he did what he was supposed to do, the outcome wasn't great, he had to go and do even more, right? Above and beyond. And actually go back and pick up the wrapper and make sure it was in the trash can. I get that. That's the spiritual alignment. There was a time when I didn't care about that. And so what it also says is that spirituality isn't always, at least what I'm finding, isn't always this Sunday morning sermon religion stuff, right? It really just is about making my spirit comfortable, right? Just being comfortable in my own spirit, right? I think when I was younger, when my spirit got uncomfortable, I just ignored it. I just really was like, I didn't care. But today, you know, free of the drugs, free of the alcohol, I have a real relationship with my spirit. And when things don't, when the wrapper doesn't hit the trash can or doesn't make it in, I feel crappy. And that's just amazing. So I don't know. I love the accountability stuff. I love how it says too much of my life has been spent in dwelling upon the faults of others. Mind my own business, right? That was one of the first things I heard when I came into this program. Mind your own business. Stay out of other people's business. And the other thing was, what people think about you is none of your business, right? And listening to Bobby Kennedy, the guy, right? Not the candidate, just the guy, right? And he talks about that, and he quotes these things, you know? What people think about me is none of my business. And what's funny is that, you know, he is under attack, right? These people don't like him, right? They're coming after him. They're saying he's all these different things. I have spent the last 6 weeks really listening to a lot of interviews of this guy. I think he is a win, don't win, doesn't matter. This guy is a great human. And but he quotes these things, you know, what people think about me is none of my business. And, you know, when people badmouth him, he you know, he's got the program, right? He's like, you know, I don't care. Even though I know that that stuff does bother him. And he talked about it last week. He was accused of being an anti-Semite. And he was like, you know what? That really hurt my feelings. He goes, most things I'm all right with. Most things, like they say, what people say about me is none of my business. I'm like, that guy's program, right? But sometimes it hurts my feelings. And so anyway, but too much of my life has been spent dwelling and upon other people's faults. And I remember coming into the program and thinking, and I remember being many, many years into the program being judgmental, taking people's inventory. You know, I shared in this podcast before, right before the pandemic, I wasn't struggling being sober. I was struggling with going to meetings. And I was going to meetings, and then I was taking people's inventory. I was looking at him being like, you know, this guy's never going to make it. You know, like shit that ain't any of my business. But I was putting my nose in other people's business. And, you know, that allows us to stay sick. You know, that allows us to stay sick. This is a most subtle and perverse form of self-satisfaction. Yeah. You know, I know a lot of people that love this stuff, right? I know, and you know, it's sort of gossip, right? Gossip, talking about other people keeps us in this sickness, right? Shit that is none of our business, which we've all done. I know I've gossiped, right? I see my sales lady. What's the latest? What's the word on the street, right? Sometimes I hear things and I try to, you know, I just keep it to myself, right? Still sick, still sick. But yeah, our very first problem is to accept our present circumstances as they are, ourselves as we are, and the people about us as they are. That's huge. I mean, I've always fell short in my mind of what I wanted to be in my life, right? I've always wanted to be, I'm always looking at other people going, I wish I was like them, right? All my time growing up, I want to be a millionaire. I want to have a Ferrari. I mean, I always wanted to be something else, right? I was never comfortable with the person that I am today. And, you know, it's the same thing. Always wondering what, you know, other people's status. What's that person? How come they got that, right? More shit that's none of my business. I think one of the, I don't know if it's recovery, or just maturity, or just time, but I definitely think as the person that I am today, I'm more comfortable with who I am than I really have ever been. You know, obviously using the tools that I've learned from the program, listening to other people working a program, working with sponsors, being reminded nicely, you know, stop poking your nose in other people's business, mind your own, stay in your own square, stay in the day. But, you know, I'm pretty comfortable with who I am today. Right. I see people. I had a lady ask me the other day or yesterday. She said, you buying a lottery ticket? And I said, I am not. I said, it would kill me. I am the guy that has got to suffer. Right. I cannot. If I won the lottery, I would be dead. I would be spiritually killed immediately. Spiritually, I'd be dead. And then I would be probably physically dead not that much longer because I would be consumed by this. And I would be tortured by all the shit that came with it, all the people that would want money, right? And what do you say? You have to say no, right? Or you say yes. If you say yes, more want it. It's just, I could not imagine. You know, I feel bad for like a lot of these people. And I guess I don't really, I mean, I feel bad because I think people want something. You know, I was looking at this Justin Bieber and his, I guess they're married, his girlfriend or wife, and they just are constantly bombarded by these paparazzis. And everything they do, and, you know, Justin, you know, and I'm not, you know, I'm not, I don't care one way or the other about Justin Bieber. I think he's got talent, right? Good for him. But, like, he has to, like, when they arrive somewhere, he's got to get out, and he has to stand in front of the door so his wife can get out so they don't try to take pictures up her skirt. That's what the caption said the other day. I was like, oh, my God. You know, what a fucking, what a life, right? And constantly all these people taking pictures of you, and it's just, you know, but what do we wish for, right? Fame, money and fame, but at what cost? Right. And then you have a life like a person like me who hasn't, you know, no fame, no nothing. I just have, just go to work and it shows, right? There's clearly nobody outside that cares about me, which is perfect. I couldn't handle that life. Right. So it's got to be tough. You know, you have to figure out the balance, but, you know, it's a tough man. And I'm just grateful that I have, you know, this program to try to help me and learn and be a better person. Let me see if I can read a daily. Should I read it? I guess I'll read a daily reflection. Why not? Let's go crazy here. Let's go wild. Where is it? Daily reflections. I'm going to a meeting tonight. And my typical meeting tonight is not on tonight because they're having summer Bible camp. So I think we're going to do a different meeting. I'm going to meet my sponsor and a couple people, and we're all going to go to a different meeting tonight. So that'll be fun. I have, I've talked a little bit about maybe mixing up my meetings a bit. We'll see. Okay, here we go. August the 2nd, we become willing. It's funny. Let's see. At the moment, we are trying to put our lives in order, but this is not an end in itself. Okay. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 77. How easily I can become misdirected in approaching the eighth step. I wish to be free somehow, transformed by my sixth and seventh step work. Now, more than ever, I am vulnerable to my own self-interest and hidden agenda. I am careful to remember that self-satisfaction, which sometimes comes through the spoken forgiveness of those I have harmed, is not my true objective. I become willing to make amends, knowing that through this process I am mended and made fit to move forward to know the desire God's will for me. Yeah. Yep. You got that right. Yeah, I agree. It's all about, I mean, in the end, to me, it's all about accountability, right? I spent a big portion of this program not really understanding the accountability part, right? Just, you know, a victim, right? I said this the other day. I came in the first time a victim of alcoholism. And, you know, and that was the thing on Monday because we read the first step. And I still wonder how much life I had in the beginning, right? We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. I didn't really have a life, right? I came in 97. I had nothing. I mean, I was living, I was existing, but I didn't have a life. You know, I was a pain in the ass for a lot of people. And when I came in 97 and got sober and spent 5 years sober, I got a life, right? I got married. I got a job. I got a career. I went to education, had a kid. And then when I drank, the first step really applied. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. And the life that I was living was me trying to drink while this whole new life that I had built was observing it, and it became very unmanageable. So, yeah. But, you know, it's about accountability still for me. And I don't know. I didn't have much going on this morning. I hope everyone has a great day. Don't drink, right? Stay sober. Later.